I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
To another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. You are joined by me, your host, at FLWN_, and I'm here with, actually, it's quite going to be quite an interesting lineup. So we've got two of each team. We've got two Arsenal ladies, two United ladies, and two Chelsea ladies amongst us today. So
three Chelsea ladies.
I'm hosting, so I'm not going to be involved in any debate, all right? All right, so let's go to the right of me. Introduce yourself.
Brianna at Shackard.
Beatrice at Bukino School Beatrice. Faye at Kilo RCS. Why are we laughing? It's actually an anime character, isn't it? It's an anime character. Yeah.
Audrey at Audrey Milan.
Shy at Shy Car.
Brie at Miss Blue.
We've got someone new with us today, guys. I was actually just going to go straight into it, but I forgot we've got to kind of embarrass her. Shai, welcome to Gold Diggers.
Hi.
Do you want to tell our listeners who you support?
The biggest club in London.
I'm confused because you don't support Chelsea. So.
I didn't say best now, I said biggest.
Right, right. For those who are confused, she does mean Arsenal. I'm sure a lot of us will be confused by that. But anyway, it's been an interesting week, but we're just going to go straight into it off the bat of the North London Derby. And for the first time in a while, I'm seeing Brianna wear Arsenal merch. So Brianna, tell us, why are you smiling? Why are you smiling so hard?
Today is a good day. Today is a... I don't usually have reasons to smile being an Arsenal fan, but today was a good day. The first half, like, as Arteta said, was we were near perfect. I mean, Tottenham, they were not good today. But to give credit to the players and to give credit to Arteta, he got the lineup, the tactics, everything spot on, and everyone did their job. I was surprised to see, like, fluid football. It was... I was like, I hope this is Arteta ball and it's not just Tottenham being rubbish, because this is the type of thing that I want to see from Arsenal. To me, this is like the heritage. This is Arsenal heritage, like passing, moving, good goals, attractive football, and like scoring and winning on top of it. So today was a great day. Tomiyasu did really well again. Ramsdale did really well. It finally clicked for Saka, which was great. Everyone, like, honestly, everyone had a good game. I can't think of anybody that I was like, yeah, they were a bit whack or they didn't play well. And it's that's new for us this season and for quite a while, where everyone has been on it at the same time. So long may it continue.
And Shia, I guess, as on your debut, you guys win 3-0. For context,
3-1.
Or was it 3-1?
Yeah, no clean sheet.
No.
So no. You got a clean sheet yesterday, didn't they?
Right. Let's cut the animosity right there, yeah. That's very, like
we didn't even need to go into that yet. I just wanted to ask you, like, what were your takes from the Arsenal-Tottenham match today?
Every man to the tee today was accounted for. I think Martin Odegaard was Arsenal's best performer. He made everyone tick. party's going to get all the applaudits. Aubameyang, ESR, but Odegaard was the guy today. Mm. And let's be real, man, we don't lose to Tottenham at home. What did we expect?
Can I just say something?
Go on,
did you guys actually realise that this is the first time that Arsenal had all of its players?
Mm.
Because I remember I even got a notification, unless that changed within the weekend, because you never know. But
it's
I remember
changed now, Xhaka's gone.
Yeah, so it only lasted for one weekend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I remember I saw the news that Arsenal have got a full squad for the first time. I'm like, okay, so...
So does that mean that this is basically what you expect to see week in, week out with these type of players? So you expect to see fluid football with, you know, your full 11, your 11 starters, no?
No, it's not what we expect to see.
Why?
We'll take every week as it comes. Next week might be bad, you know. Our tempo's a bit up, down. But this week we'll celebrate. We'll see you again next week.
You see, for me, I can't relate. But anyway, moving on. So
you can't relate? That's interesting.
Listen, no. I am hosting today. You guys don't even know who I'm supporting. Jesus, I'm just a host. Anyway. Brianna, looking at the match, right? So what are your standouts and why? And I don't want you to say Emil Smith-Rowe or Odegaard.
Why can't I say Smith-Rowe?
Because I feel like I'm very tired of hearing those two names. It's been on my timeline all day, and I just want to hear another name, please.
Okay, if I can't say Smith-Rowe and I can't say Odegaard, even though we're going to give them their little round of applause. I think that even though Ramsdale didn't have a lot to do, considering how much criticism he got when we got him, when it was something that he had to do, he did it well. That I feel like the goal we conceded, he maybe could have done a bit better, but it was a good strike.
Mm-hmm.
Tomiyasu as well. Like I feel like Tomiyasu is very much like a very consistent. He doesn't make too many mistakes. He's what we've been looking for at right back. I feel like for a while.
Yeah.
He just gets on with it. Like he gets on with his job and he does his job well, which I like. Saka played really well. Saka ate Ndombele up for breakfast, lunch and dinner today. It was fantastic. I loved it. I can't talk about individual standards because I feel like everyone did well. Actually, let me just do a little bit of Saka propaganda. Saka, that would have been a 1-1 situation. He made it a 2-0, so shout out to him. I can't sing everyone's praises enough today, honestly. Everyone from back to front was great today.
Fantastic. And Shai, who was your man of the match personally?
Excluding Odegaard, I'll give it to Gabriel.
Why?
Sorry,
that was so rude.
I think he keeps the Arsenal defence ticking. He keeps them in order. He's the leader out of the back four. When he's missing, Arsenal defensively, shambolic. Some of his passes out today relieved a lot of pressure when Tottenham did try to press us, so I'll give it to Gabriel. But Ben White also had a solid performance.
I can't lie, I feel like Tierney covered for him quite a lot today. Like, covered for the centre-backs today quite a lot. Like, it kind of went under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
But he did come in, like, in the first half, I found, and, like, kind of intervene when they had kind of pressed high and they got caught out.
Mm-hmm.
He did have a good game. I don't disagree. He definitely had a good game.
Rui doesn't like seeing other clubs have.
If it was Chelsea now.
Listen. Brie, why don't you like seeing Arsenal happy?
No, because she's always smiling when Chelsea lose. Like,
but
remember...
You smile when
hold on, let me... She asked me a question.
Oh! I know the exact time you're talking about as well.
Yeah, like, you know that period when we're getting slapped back to back, like, punched, everything. Yeah, Brianna was just there.
Like, in the corner.
Like,
the street,
you just like, look, you just see those teeth, like... So no, I'm not happy that they're happy.
Okay, well, do you know what? I'm happy that Arsenal got some points on the table. You guys
stop
are
lying.
Wait,
yeah,
are
you yeah, we are. I'm actually lying through my teeth, but I am happy that you guys are finally in the top half of the table. And I guess we've got to give you some credit for that. But I just want to pose a question. This can go to anyone here. Yeah? Is it that Arsenal played really well? Or Tottenham were just really bad.
Tottenham
were
just
yeah. 100%.
Okay, so I'll start with you, Beatrice. What's your opinion?
It's a combination of both. Mm-hmm. Tottenham were Harry Kane. That was just so embarrassing. I felt bad for Son though. I don't know why. I just felt like
because he cries a lot. I don't know.
Because, like, I felt like he, in his head, he was probably thinking, guys, we're better than this.
Mm.
But he couldn't do anything.
Yeah. And what about you, Fabe?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. I don't think Arsenal were, like, amazing. You said there was Heritage Ball? That's what it is, then congratulations to you. But it wasn't anything to be like, wow, they're back, they're going to do us something.
I didn't say we were back. I said the first half, fluid football and scoring is our heritage. That's
considering how Arsenal have been playing, that was actually really good.
What's the first half
not good, objectively, regardless?
Sorry, Tottenham are shit. Palace did it to them. Chelsea did it to them. They're actually down bad. Like, none of them were trying. Harry Kane was playing like he didn't want to be there. Like, jokes aside.
Literally.
Like,
I've never acknowledged Audrey, but I agree with you.
No, like, when we've watched... Guys, deep it. Dele Alli didn't fight today. That's how down
but
bad.
Dele Alli...
No. Every time I watch a North London, like, there's always an argument or beat. Like, today, there's none of that. Like, Tottenham don't even look like they want to play anymore. Like, the difference between Tottenham and, like, let's say Man United, our players will fight for Ole. These are the... Like, they're not shit. Like, Lucas Morris, thank God that he didn't come to Man United them times that Fergie wanted him. Because he's shit. Like, he was playing... He's shit. Like, you guys keep saying, Kane. Lucas Morris was as bad as Harry Kane. The only difference between Harry Kane and Lucas Morris is that Harry Kane's is... I don't know why he's the face of Tottenham, but that's why...
He's the best player.
Wait. Can I reel that back? Are you comparing... Harry Kane to Lucas Moura.
I'm not, I'm saying people keep just blaming Kane. Moura was as bad as Harry Kane.
Okay, for this match.
Yeah, for this game. Like, yeah. Honestly speaking, like, I agree with Beatrice. Song was the only person that was actually doing something. He was asking them to, like, do something. They were doing nothing. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone was bad. Who's that one on the pitch? He looks round. sorry, I don't, there's no fat shaming in here, but he's putting weight. Like, you can tell he's putting weight. Who is it? Who had dyed their hair?
Ndombele.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Big mess up.
Like, he just... See, this is why they're saying football. You have to watch your diet. Because he was struggling out there. He was actually struggling.
So you don't think Saka played well then?
I do think Saka played well. But like I said in the chat, since all the England players have come back, they've all been crap. Congratulations for Saka for finally turning up. Well done.
Okay.
That didn't seem like a genuine congratulation.
No, well done. Like, I can say, at least I can say that my players that's come from Euros have stunk up the joint. Saka's finally showed up. I hope Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire and everyone else follows through. But back to Tottenham. Like, don't get me wrong. Arsenal, they were good today, but I'm so sorry. Tottenham were bad. They were shit. Like, they were bad. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of both for me. I'm not going to come and say, oh, Arsenal were so good. Because, let's be honest, if Tottenham did want to play well and step up, it would have been a better game. It was one-sided today. And in the last 30 years, I've never seen Tottenham that bad. I've seen them try and still get a goal back, or at least come out of a draw. Today, they did not like it. Nah. And sorry, Tottenham holding Harry Kane hostage, this is what they're going to get. The guy does not like not to score anytime soon. I was even saying, fight back. I knew that chance he could have had, even though it was offside, doesn't mean that Kane doesn't want to be anymore. Because on a good day, Kane will score there. Like, I genuinely feel sorry for Tottenham, because even at their best spell, they didn't win anything. I just don't see them getting any better.
But don't you think Kane should put himself in the shop window a little bit? Yeah, I know you don't want to be there, but making your last season possibly at Tottenham a shit show is not a good thing.
Nah, do you know what? He reminds me of Zaha. Zaha doesn't want to be at Palace. Because at times, Zaha drops thinkers. It happens. No, it's the same thing. They both signed stupid contracts.
No offense to Zaha, though, but Kane is a bit of a tier above. Like, we expect, and we've seen more consistency from Kane than we have from Zaha. It's not because Zaha's whack or anything, but it's just because we've seen in past seasons, Kane has consistently been good. Even at North London derbies, he'll turn up.
Okay, can I ask you a question? If you want to be in an environment, are you going to still play well? Like, yes or no, because I've seen players that don't want to be at Man United and drop stinkers. Di Maria at Man United, he didn't want to be there. He was playing decent, but he wasn't playing to his advantage as he's playing in PSG.
Hell.
What? No, she's right.
Like,
I agree. But, like, no.
Nah.
Kane don't want to be there, man. And you, I feel sorry for Son, but Son is stupid as well, because why would you go and sign a contract extension when you know how bad Tottenham are? He's gone. He's 29.
He loves that club.
No, no, no. At 29, apparently he hasn't won anything. That's
he
sad.
He loves that club. I can imagine Son being there till he retires.
He has no choice, yeah. Because no one's really going to spend that much on a player that's 29 when there's younger players coming up through. The difference between Son and Kane is that Kane strikers peak at his age. You understand? I don't think Kane is finished. People are saying, oh, Kane's finished. He just looks unhappy. Maybe eventually he's going to have to step up, because he's letting his fans down. He's letting the club down. You sign a contract, you play for the club. The moment he put that pen on paper, he was making a big commitment to the club. It is what it is.
But then how do people put that together with the, oh, Kane's a professional, Kane's this, Kane's that, but then, like, going on strike. Like, as Beatrice said, I agree with what you say. Like, if you don't want to be somewhere, you're not going to be able to get yourself in that headspace where you play, like, at a high standard. But at the same time, like, if you want to leave, you have to make other people want you. You can't drop stinkers and then try and force your way out. No one's going to pay for you anyway, so you're going to be there until the end of your contract.
But to be fair, it's Harry Kane. Like, he fam, has the stats English. To back it up.
Exactly.
He does. But
244 apps, and how many goals he scored? Okay, more than that.
It doesn't matter. Like,
it does matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Okay, wait. That's what I mean. I mean, right, if the season, let's say for some reason, he only gets, what, 5 goals or something.
Harry Kane is never going to get... That's a silly...
No, but you're saying... You're saying he's unhappy and he doesn't want to play, right? I'm saying, imagine...
I can't imagine it, because it's not going to happen to Harry
Kane. Look how it happened to Hazard. We never would have thought Hazard would go.
Okay,
a year
I'm past not. Okay, that's sorry. Like, Brianna, that's a dumb comparison as well.
But
it's
a similar situation.
No, because Hazard is not a goal scorer. Harry Kane is a goal scorer. You can't do that. That's
agree,
a silly comparison. I'm so sorry. I'm not hearing it.
I wouldn't say 5 goals. Let's say 10. Okay, but it's not something that's completely inconceivable. If he drops stinkers and the whole team is whack until the end of the season, he's not going to
score. Okay, how many... With 6 games in, by the way... The season, we're not even in Christmas yet. He can score goals. It's Harry Kane.
We know that he can.
Yeah, but
imagine the possibility.
Currently, if he continues at this rate, he's not going to have a good season.
You guys keep saying that all the time. You're gonna have a good season, and he ends up having a good season.
Seasons where he actually wants to play. And
He will get there. He will score goals.
There was a season where he started off slow.
Oh, it's August. He'll get there. Sorry, I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, Harry Kane's finished, because every time everyone says Harry...
No one said he's finished. I'm just saying, if he has a bad season, it's not helping his case.
It's not helping his case, but at the same time, it's Harry Kane. Like Faye said, it's Harry Kane, bro.
People are going to want him. I agree. People are going to want him. But
they're not going to pay the
money. They're not going to pay the money that Levy wants. Levy didn't take, was it 125
million? It actually wasn't, by the way. I heard that. I was actually saying 5 million add-ons.
Whatever.
Let's be honest. But let's not disrespect Harry Kane. For you to say Harry Kane's the same amount as... Pepe and Sancho, come on, let's respect the guy a bit. 75 mil, come on.
How old is he, bro?
But it doesn't matter. I'm saying...
He's got injuries.
But the thing... you guys don't know that strikers peak at this age. This is a striker's peak. Yes, he's got injuries, but he's still a world-class striker. You can't take that away from him.
But the players that...
He doesn't have trophies to back up, but he does have a lot of goals, and that's what a striker's job is to do. Sorry that he happened to end up in Tottenham. That's a rubbish club. I can put my life in, put Harry Kane in any other
life.
Club. Honestly, that's how confident I am. Put Harry Kane in any club in the top six or outside the Prem. He can get a trophy. Come on, man. He's got stats to back up his talk. It's even hurting me that he's going to ruin Wayne Rooney's England's gold record. That's how good the guy is. It's a shame that he's at Tottenham, but I'm not going to sit here and let you guys tell me that Harry Kane can only score 5 goals.
She's not going to defend
it. But I'm defending Harry Kane. I'm not defending Tottenham.
But
that's the difference.
This is not what we're saying at all. We're just saying he needs to pick up his form and actually have a decent season.
Yeah. He will have a decent season.
Get out of that club.
He's not getting out of the club anytime soon. He's ready trapped, though. He's ready trapped.
He's got a contract.
Trapped, because really and truly, like you said, Tottenham are just... It's going to go out 2 years. Either Tottenham eventually let the guy go next summer, or Harry Kane has to just
ride it out.
A Steve Gerrard and ride it out.
I don't think Steven Gerrard wanted to stay.
No,
he went to his house and was
fine. Yeah, yeah, it was when he wanted to go to Chelsea. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what?
You did not know that? Yeah, no. They held him hostage. He wanted, he was this close to going to Chelsea. And yeah, what?
I think that happened with Rooney as well. He was going to come to Chelsea.
No, no, no. No. No.
I thought you was going to call me that time, but then no, that
no. Do you know what? Okay, let's keep it moving. Brianna, did you have something you wanted to say? I thought I heard you say something and then everyone started laughing.
No.
I'm sorry. I put you on the spot. Apologies. Okay, so with Kane being potentially only able to score 5 goals this season, potentially.
That is blasphemous.
That is really blasphemous.
I said imagine.
Imagine he only scores 5 goals this season. Is that an excuse to get Nuno out of the club?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even without Kane not scoring, that guy is not lasting to Christmas.
He's gone before Christmas.
He's like, okay. Have you guys seen how Tottenham play football? Like, nah, man. The Palace game, cool. Chelsea, cool. But today's game, nah, no excuse.
They just
that's
look
three
a bit,
goals.
They look really depleted. Like, they just look like they don't want to attack. But the thing is, you look at the first half with Chelsea, mm-hmm. and they were pretty good. If they continue that kind of momentum, can Nuno potentially turn things around, or do you guys think it's kind of bust?
He's lost the dressing
room.
He
came from Wolverhampton.
But Wolverhampton, remember, he bought...
So he did something
there. He bought Wolverhampton.
Yeah, but...
No,
don't get me wrong. I'm not slandering Wolverhampton as a team. It's just that that's the level of football he's used to. Mm. Tottenham is bigger than Wolverhampton.
Are they?
No, No, just overall. So I don't think he's used to that kind of pressure as well. Mm. So it was never going to work.
They should not
have sat Jose. No, but to be fair,
they had to.
What?
Jose defenders are out again. No, they needed to.
No, they didn't need to sack Jose.
No,
before final as well. They didn't need to sack Jose.
No, but
I swear he wasn't agreeing with the board. Was he agreeing?
He was literally disagreeing fighting with everyone.
I'm so sorry. But the guy who's potentially going to score 5 goals this season, he was on board with Jose. He liked Jose.
There's always a Jose pair.
And that is the most world-class
player.
Yeah, when it's your
Harry
Kane
was changing the way he plays everything, getting assists.
But the job at Spurs is really hard. Like,
so who can take Spurs to that next level? I know like it's none of our business.
Someone said the Brighton. Excuse me.
Graham Potter.
Yeah, maybe next season because
what?
If that's what people are saying. But if you actually look at Tottenham's squad, it's everything. Like compared to Man United and Arsenal, who's mm-hmm. still in there, whatever. That Tottenham job is not easy. You know, it's actually not easy. They need a miracle. They genuinely need a miracle. I don't see Tottenham getting any better.
But okay, you look at Arsenal's and you look at the job that Arteta needs to do with Arsenal.
Yeah.
Can that compare to what Nuno needs to do with Tottenham?
No, because Tottenham's job is hard. No,
Tottenham's job is harder.
Tottenham's job is harder.
We'll go around the table this one. Shia, what do you think?
I think, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, Patricia.
Yeah.
I think that he can get Tottenham back rolling. Mm. I think he will definitely get them the players, they just need the coach.
Mm. What about you, Audrey?
Nah, Tottenham's job, whoever goes to Tottenham has a hell of a job. Because the difference between Arsenal, when Poch was there, he did not have the funds to buy the players he wanted. He actually managed to do a decent job. At least with Arsenal, you guys can spend small. In fact, that's where you spend the most this window. That's what it says on the whatever. So, Tottenham's job is a very difficult job. I feel sorry for who's going to take it. No one wants to go there. Like, it's peak. 6 games in, deep it, the fans want the guy out.
Feel like Arsenal, the reason why the Arsenal job is harder is because the fans have a lot more to say. They have a lot,
because of a lot, the platform
the fan impact is a lot higher. The pressure is a lot more.
Yeah.
Because the fans are so vocal. Mm-hmm. So I just don't.
So you don't think Tottenham, so you don't think anyone else fans are vocal? You just think Arsenal fans are
vocal? No, I'm just saying, in comparison to Tottenham fans.
And
Tottenham,
they've got the biggest fan TV channel.
Yeah, but everyone's fan, every club's fans' words is vocal.
Not to the extent of Arsenal.
So are you saying Man United fans, our voices are not up there with what we want for the club?
No. It's not up there compared to the likes of Arsenal fans.
Well, actually, the biggest club in England.
You are the biggest club in England.
So how can you say the biggest club in England? How can you say that?
Last season,
we were absolutely
he's the most vocal. But for the last like 4 or 5 seasons, it has been Arsenal.
Nah, that's jazz.
Okay, let's put it this way, right? You've got fans such as Arsenal Fan TV, and then you've got United Stan, right? These are like 2 big platforms, mm-hmm. okay? And you look at the impact of Arsenal Fan TV. Arsenal Fan TV single-handedly got Arsene Wenger to resign.
They did not get him to resign.
They all did.
How can you blame
him? They did. That's okay, majority. Okay.
Majority.
It was the fan impact.
So that means you agree with the fans that say Arsenal Fan TV is to blame for why the teams
I don't
the
team, agree with them, losing. But Arsenal Fan TV.
No, Wenger was already. Wenger was done already. Wenger was done already, okay. man. He knew was done.
I don't think Arsenal Fan TV, but the fans.
Okay, Arsenal fans.
Fans pushed Wenger out.
Okay, Arsenal fans, exactly. So. At the end of the day, the fans.
Did the fans not get Van Gaal out and Mourinho out?
I think, no, the players. The players did that one then.
Mourinho, that's for the players.
The players.
Hey, Luke Shaw came caught.
I remember seeing United fans in that. But I think the difference, sorry, without stopping, the difference between the Tottenham job and the Arsenal job is that the fans in the stadium, Arsenal fans, have a habit of making the atmosphere very toxic when things are going wrong, like very, very bad. And it always ends up coming to a boiling point, which has its pros and cons. But then also the expectations at Arsenal Football Club are higher. Full offence to Tottenham, they're not a big club.
Full offence?
There's no point saying no offence because I mean it. I meant what I said. They're not a big club. And the expectations are lower. They need a manager that can overachieve. We also need a manager that can overachieve, but not for the same reasons. If Tottenham get Europa League, it's not the end of the world. Every season that we get Europa League, or have been getting Europa League, from 2016...
Sorry, wait. What difference? You haven't won the goddamn competition, so it doesn't make a difference.
I know we haven't won it, neither has Tottenham. The expectations. I don't know why you're talking about Tottenham like
no, but
Tottenham
what,
it doesn't make sense.
But what expectations does Arsenal have in the Champions League?
I didn't say we had expectations in Champions League. That's a whole different sentence.
Okay,
that's a whole different
sentence. Because you're saying, you're coming to say that because Arsenal haven't been in the Champions League, the club, the fans are upset. There's nothing to be upset about because you don't do shit in the Champions League. You go then disgrace yourself.
We know at this point, participation of clubs in the Champions League is actually a source of prestige in terms of money. It does matter.
In terms of
the quality of competition that you're playing in. It's about... That's why top four in and of itself matters. If it's all about, who wins the competition, it doesn't matter. Getting there in and of itself, it matters. And every season, that wasn't even the point I was trying to make, but every season since like 2016-17 has essentially in our history been an anomaly. So for Tottenham fans, getting into the Champions League historically isn't the norm for them. So the job is bigger. If they miss out for the next 5 seasons, it's not like it's normal for them to be in it every season.
Wouldn't you say, now that Arsenal don't get top four, that's your norm?
Thank you.
It's been like 5 years. How
that's
that
a norm.
Okay. It should be your norm. But for a club of Arsenal's stature, it's not our expectation.
But why? Because you guys have never won
agenda.
It.
Thank you, Faye. It's not an agenda.
All right. Wait. Guys, let's get this back in order. Why do you think it's an agenda, Brianna?
Because I'm not talking about winning the competition. That's not my point. I would like to win. I'll be stupid if I said I don't want to win the Champions League. I do want to win the Champions League. But my original point is that the job at Arsenal is bigger because we have an expectation to be up there and competing at the baseline, at the very least. We want to be up
that
there.
Out anymore. I haven't seen no banner.
Why would you scream Arteta out after you win
rival. Like, I've seen Ole win games. I've told him out. I want him out. I'll say Ole out. I say it all the time.
Why not?
Guys,
this is peer pressure on another level. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
You guys are arguing with me like you're Tottenham. I said Tottenham's a shit club. And now you're here telling me I should be saying Arsenal out. How have we got here?
When Arsenal was scoring 3-0, yeah? When they were winning 3-0, I would have been like, this guy's getting me mad. Why is he celebrating like that? Why is he celebrating? It would have got me mad. I'd be like, look what.
So I strategically placed everyone in different seats. Beatrice refused to move. For only God knows why.
But look at me being the calm one.
Exactly. So you need to be sitting there. That's where you need to be sitting. Actually, do you know what? It's fine.
It's okay. It doesn't make any sense.
Do you know what? Faye, I'll let you finish your point. Okay. And then we'll move on from this topic. Because I don't even know how we got here.
If your expectation is Champions League, that means you think you're on the same level as Chelsea, Liverpool, United, Manchester City.
How do we think that?
You shouldn't be having the dream then.
You just said 1 + 1 = 21.
That's your expectation.
So can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question, right? Mm-hmm. Can Leicester City, they finish where in the league? Fifth?
Fuck, you're comparing yourself to Leicester City.
Can Leicester City fans have the expectation of getting to a Champions League place, even though it might not be their reality?
They can.
So then, hang on. Who are you to take that away from Arsenal fans?
Me?
Yes.
That's what Chelsea... That's who I am.
But why do you get to dictate what Arsenal fans expect? That's my thing.
I'm sorry, you need to be realistic.
It's only been four years, four or five years. That's your problem. It's going to continue going on. I can respect you guys. I can't believe I'm Man United fan. I'm mad. The times that you guys had to win the Europa League, you let a Finnish Chelsea that was fighting amongst themselves beat you 4-1.
You lost.
But when you were playing Europa League final, didn't you lose?
Yeah, we lost the pennies. We didn't need to win that. That's not a competition.
Shame the shameless, we're gonna move on. Right. I was gonna talk about Arsenal redeeming himself. I mean, Arteta redeeming himself, but I'm not even gonna go there because we'll start talking about expectations again and
Not allowed to have expectations again.
Yeah. You shouldn't.
Okay, well, you always get disappointed anyway.
Do you know what? I'm going to let Beatrice have the last word on this because you've been sitting there pretty and peacefully. Beatrice, Arsenal expectations, can they expect to get back to the Champions League, and is there any difference in Arsenal expectations and Tottenham expectations?
I think it's fair that they want to get back to the Champions League. I don't think that is outrageous because they've been there before. They want to get back to their former glory.
Like, so has Spurs.
Okay.
Let Beatrice land. Beatrice will have the last word on this.
Arsenal's a bigger club than Spurs, historically as well. By far, it's not even a comparison. So for that reason, of course.
But when Spurs, when they win that one trophy...
We're gonna move on.
Now, there's been debates amongst, you know, our star boys of our teams and etc. I was gonna go into Emil Smith Rowe because there was a debate on Twitter talking about who's a better England youngster. Is it Emil Smith Rowe or is it Mason Mount, right? But I don't think anyone here, apart from me and Bree, are going to side with Mason Mount at this moment in time. Faye shamelessly there smiling because I don't. Faye is gonna say that she prefers Emil Smith Rowe to Mount.
About Mount, he got the assist for the Champions League goal and he's got a medal for that.
Okay.
Emil Smith Rowe, nothing to show for it. That's all.
Who started this debate, please?
That's fine. I don't know. We don't know who started this debate.
It's always Arsenal fans.
There's no evidence for it.
Do you know what? It definitely was on Twitter. Every player that comes that's upbringing, you guys must compare your player to theirs. We've seen it with Greenwood.
It's actually true.
Every player, you guys even took it to the extent to compare Pepe to someone like Daniel James. Like, it's always you guys.
You lot started that. Wait, hold on. Can I just interject here?
Can I just say something? The Pepe and Daniel James shout, I for one witnessed where it stemmed from. It was you all day.
That was me on Twitter.
It was you.
No, it wasn't me actually.
I swear to God, remember, you see how I started the Tammy Rashford debate? Yeah. You started
not the Pepe one.
Daniel James.
I don't want to get into this. Someone tweeted, you know when, I don't want to get into this because it's not part of the agenda, but I'll just say it now. Someone must have tweeted that we don't show up in the championship. It came from Arsenal side of Twitter. Then obviously Man United fans are going to be like, cool, you don't show up in the championship. And you know when Daniel James started scoring and Pepe wasn't scoring, that's where the back and forth came from. That's from my TL anyway.
So like, United fans started it, is what you're saying?
No, does that make sense? Okay. Yeah, you don't show up in the championship.
Okay.
We move. Everyone knows who you're referring to.
So there's also the conversation of Bukayo Saka being compared to, I'm going to say Mason Greenwood. I don't think Bukayo Saka is yet to talk to Jadon Sancho, and I'm sure Bukayo Saka probably agrees with that. But I'm just going to go around the room really quickly, just so we can have, it's probably not going to be a debate because I ain't got time for that one. But I just want to get your opinion. So, in your team right now, Faye, who are you taking? Saka, Greenwood?
Greenwood.
Cool. Beatrice, Saka, Greenwood.
Person in my team now.
Rihanna, Saka, Greenwood.
I don't think we should be comparing them. That's the answer I have.
Saka, Greenwood.
I don't think we should be comparing them.
Do you not have a genuine opinion on who you'd prefer as a player as right now?
Who I prefer? But they don't even play the same position.
Mm-hmm. No, but we're talking about youngsters here.
So because what, the thing is, Starboy versus Starboy.
Starboy versus Starboy, literally.
Then it's Greenwood, but I don't like putting down my own players.
No, you don't even have to put him down. You can literally just say Greenwood
Greenwood's finishing his match. Like, we all know Greenwood is very talented, so it's Greenwood.
Okay.
Green.
I was expecting Audrey to say that. Who are you picking?
I hate to say this, but I agree with Brianna.
Well, you don't want to put them against each other.
Yeah,
but why do people think, that when you compare two players, that is putting one down and the other one up? Why can't we actually just have a debate about why you think one's great and why you think the other one's great and just leave it there?
Because everyone's going to be biased towards their own player. That's the truth.
No, but that's not the question I'm asking. Why can't we just have an honest conversation about these two players and their qualities and what makes them great players about putting the other one down?
It's only productive if you're comparing a like for like or at least a similar thing. Like, if you're not, then it's just a gender.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's why I feel like I don't have a valid answer for this.
Saka
and
Odoi. We're not doing that. We're not doing Saka and Odoi because my TL is saying Saka and Greenwood.
I saw Saka and Sancho today, but I don't
We're
think
not
that's
talking
productive
about that one. That was not productive. For us.
For now.
Well, Shai, do you have anything you want to say on the Saka or Sancho debate?
Tell Sancho to start for Man United, man. That's all I have to say on that.
And tell Saka to actually score his penalty in the Euro.
That was low!
Well, if you want to go there, oh if Rashford and Sancho had put their penalties in the back of the net, because Saka wouldn't even have to take it.
That's fine, but like I said...
Tell Sancho the same thing. Matter of fact, tell Sancho to turn up in the Premier League. We're still waiting.
That's fine. Just make sure when he comes on this podcast, let me not catch you on this.
We'll do what Faye does with players, but we'll be like... Okay, moving on. Man United, they hosted Aston Villa this weekend. And funny enough, Man United actually lost. And I want to get a recap, and I'm going to go to the quietest person on this panel. So, Beatrice, can we get your recap of the Manchester United versus Aston Villa match? You have been really quiet amongst the chaos.
I haven't been that quiet.
Amongst the chaos. You sat there on your phone like this.
Okay, United Villa, it wasn't a good game. What I like to do is I like to block bad memories out of my mind. So, I can't remember the full details of the match. I just remember the most significant moment, which was Bruno missing a penalty. Mm-hmm. And, I felt pain. Mm-hmm. I blocked it out, but I felt pain at that point in time.
Yeah.
Why the commentary?
I'm listening to you.
Okay.
I'm just listening, actually.
I think in that match we actually had opportunities to score. I just don't understand why we do this.
So,
we make it hard for ourselves, even though we've got the players and we've got, you know, the attacking talent to actually put goals away, but we just didn't do that. Bruno, why are you raising your hand?
Can I just say, what? I'm just about your starting lineup. You had David De Gea,
I know
Harry
the
Maguire,
team that started.
Varane, Luke Shaw, Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
We'll get on to him.
Fred McTominay, Bruno Fernandes, and Cristiano Ronaldo, CR7. Okay?
Who did they play in the
That was your team against Aston Villa.
It changed mid-game.
Yeah, but that was your starting lineup.
Okay, so what's the point?
You guys lost 1-0 to Aston Villa at home.
And they couldn't beat West Ham.
But what's your point?
That is your team, super team. And you couldn't, and you were begging for that penalty.
That's the real super team. We weren't begging for the penalty.
You were begging for the penalty. Orgy, you were begging. You told me to hold that.
I told you to hold that.
You missed it, and you
that's
lost.
That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
You guys lost.
I don't care. You lost as well, but we can't.
Yeah, but we were playing Manchester City.
And Ole's beaten Pep how many times?
So no, has Tuchel.
Okay, that's fine.
I've won the Champions League when you beat him.
Congratulations on a new season. Yeah. It's a new season now, baby.
New season. And we lost 1-0.
That's fine. Congratulations.
Don't worry. When we find you.
That's fine. Anyways, Nita, sorry to this distraction. I was saying, like Beatrice said, it is what it is. I can't come kill myself over Man United. Because I remember before I left the podcast, Beatrice used to sit and argue with me and tell me that Ole is a really good manager, is a really good coach.
How can she? What?
No, I remember these
things. I said
things.
This at the start when we were actually on a good run.
I remember it was in the month of February, March, and April. I remember 2019.
There was a specific time.
Yeah, but you said it. They got it
exactly.
Okay, but I don't take back what I said because at that time we were good.
The first half year, Man United, for this guy that I'm wearing, to be the best player on the pitch sums up Man United as a whole. Like, the only player that can actually put their head up high is Aaron. For me, he did well yesterday. I mean, did well when we played defensively. And
he's not the only player.
Who else played well?
Varane.
Okay, forget Varane. I'm talking about players that people always criticise all the time.
Well, what, Pogba? Did he play well?
He did all right. Pogba did all right. Funny enough, I crossed Fred in the first half. He actually did all right in the second half. Nah, he did all right in the second half. I crossed him in the first half. Second half, Fred did all right. Scott was nowhere to be seen.
Must have Scott.
Yeah, there was nowhere to be seen. Like, this is the same thing with Man United. You can't play that type of football and think it's going to be sustainable. It's going to happen. Ole tried to come and say that it was meant to be a foul or offside or whatever, trying to cancel out... Villa's goal. Did you hear his press conference?
I think it was offside, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was offside.
Boy.
The lines are thicker now, don't they?
I don't think, well, the goal stood. Like, Top Reds keep saying, it's one game. This is what you guys want. So, like I said, I can't come kill myself over Man United. All I can be happy about is Aaron finally stepping up to becoming one of the best right-backs in the league. You guys, when he gets there...
Gosh, you're actually forcing this one.
I'm not. Oh. Genuinely, I'm not. I feel like people criticise him for doing his role.
He does get criticised, but rightly so, though.
Not rightly so, because he's a defender. Like, only... he's a right-back, but...
Yeah,
back in... Like, no, but he does his job 1v1. No one criticised Trent for...
But that's not the aspect of his game criticized. That he's...
Yeah, he
Trent
does.
Yeah, his defensive role, but... Aaron Zanka gets the... criticized for everything. Yeah, so for everything. No
not
one
for
actually.
Everything.
He does.
General consensus is Aaron Wan-Bissaka, he's the better with defensive quality, yeah. He's better than Trent. That's the general consensus. But when it comes to the attacking element, that's where he lacks, right?
Yeah, but if you guys see him, he's actually doing well. He actually beat his man the other day. I know it's little. I know it's something small, but you can see that if there's a player in there, he's going to get better. He's improving offensively. Like, for me, the only person that can actually put their head up is him. And then for a whole Man United to have Ronaldo writing apology letters to his fans saying, "Oh, we'll do better." This
Ronaldo wrote an apology.
I don't think people force players to do this. I don't know why they do it.
Did Ronaldo do that?
Do you not see Ronaldo write?
It wasn't a letter.
Instagram post. Like, come on, man.
Do you guys think that players should be?
No, not really.
What game were you lost against Villa? Who's Aston Villa?
These things happen, but when Aaron got sent off during our game, no one actually saw him apologise. He just came, he started the next game and it's been better. Like I said, Man United can't kill me. It's going to be the same thing all the time. We're either going to go 1-0 down, then we have to force our way to score, this and that. I don't see this club improving anytime soon. I know it's only 6 games in. Maybe I'm overreacting or whatever, but I just don't see this club getting any better.
No, but
you were saying things like
No. When it comes to Chelsea, I'm still sticking by that. Oh, baby, I'm still sticking to by that. But in terms of Man United actually improving and becoming a better club and being the same club under Fergie, it's not happening anytime soon. And that's why I worry for Top Reds, because they're so deluded and they think everyone that criticised Ole should go and support
another.
But
you said Man United were back. You said the Sikhs were there. Man United are back.
When did I say that?
On Twitter.
So what, you guys are actually taking my tweet seriously?
Yes!
You should know me by now, I'm a troll. Like, I'm actually a troll. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, it's only 6 games. I don't see us improving, but I do hope we improve, but I don't see us improving. I said before, on a good day, Man United can beat majority of teams, but we have more bad days than good days.
No, we don't have more bad days than good days. We don't.
Oh, my God.
We don't.
That's an honest analysis from you, Beatrice. I don't think you do.
We have more bad days than good days.
We've been in the worst position.
Yeah. Lord, your head is still in your hands. Like.
Do you know what? Yeah, Fergie did not sacrifice all his years at Man United for you to sit here and say that we don't have bad days. Do you actually?
When you watch Man United,
are you happy to watch Man United?
I watch the team regardless.
Okay, but are you happy to when you not, like? Do you smile
of,
when you're
some
watching?
Some of our matches are really good. Some are not.
Can you name me one match that you've smiled throughout?
Our first game of the season.
Okay, cool. What about
you said one. I named it. I named the match, right?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think this team is good enough to compete in the Champions League and win the...
Yes, we have a good team.
No. I agree that we can. I'm just asking, do you think...
Yes, we've got a good team. Cool.
So, do you not worry that we can't be a team like Villa?
Of course it's worrying, but I'm also realistic. I'm very realistic and I'm very balanced. It's impossible for us to have good games every single time.
I didn't say have good games every single time, but still play
no,
some
but
sort
that
of
is,
it's
that
vibes.
Is...
We're literally playing with vibes on the pitch. It's vibes.
We can beat Chelsea.
But
because we can beat Chelsea.
Wait, we can't beat Villa.
Fine. Congratulations.
Everyone
Villa.
In the league has bad games.
Yeah.
It's not an anomaly. Like, everyone is going to have a bad game. It's unrealistic to expect every single one
but
of our
I didn't
games
But I didn't say that Man United should win all their games. At least play some sort of football that's sustainable. You can't play this way and think you can get away with it.
Playing good every single match is what is unsustainable. It's impossible. It can't happen. It can't. It's not...
Who plays good every single match? Not you guys.
City did. Whoa!
No, City
did. Why are you coming for me?
They have.
Not this season. Not this season.
They're Centurion season. They still have bad games
where they scraped it. But that is, that's what, for me, that's what makes a good team. When you're playing shit and you still win, that's what makes a good
team. I think the debate here has gone so off tangent. I'm very, very confused as to what we're actually debating.
I can't remember.
Are we talking about having more bad games than good games, or just having bad games in general?
More bad than good.
Then C's never had a season where they've had more bad games than good.
Most of the top teams don't. That's what I'm saying.
So I'm confused as to what this argument has.
She's saying that
you have to be realistic. Some games are going to be bad. That's what I'm saying.
So you keep saying that, but one game is all the time. Some games are going to be bad all the time. We're having this conversation. Why can't we just be happy and get points and say we've won a game? It's always one game.
For United fans, in order for us to be happy, we're going to have to play well every single game and win every game, and that's impossible.
Nah, but I think from the outside, looking and watching you guys' team, maybe Audrey's concerns that so far, for me watching United, the performances haven't been there. It's a lot of...
I'm saying the best teams can even play shit and still win.
Yeah, but I feel like that Villa game highlighted that if you guys had scored that penalty, I guarantee you the majority of it would have been like, we didn't play well, but we got a point. Your first four games or whatever it's been, you haven't played well, but you've just been better than the opposition. So you scrape through and you play what I like to describe as hero ball. You've got the players, you've got Fernandes, Greenwood, Ronaldo, whoever it may be, that are going to get you out of these situations. But if the performances aren't there, then what do you expect to win come the end of it?
I still think maybe top two again.
So jarring. Chelsea last season, for example, they didn't have good games all the time. They still won a trophy.
But Chelsea's performances in the Champions League were there.
Not all of them, though.
Oh, what?
I hate
Arbitres. Not all of them.
There's only one match.
The poor about home is where Chelsea struggled. Yeah. And then I would get it. But what we're saying so far, can you name me a convincing Manchester United performance that you've seen? Convincing.
Leeds.
But we scored like that against them last season. So what?
Yeah, it's
like,
not really.
But who asked me to name one that's convincing? Answering your question.
Is it convincing or is that the expectation? That's an expectation there for you guys to run Leeds ragged like that.
But it's both.
But then you look at it like this: Villa. You say Villa are the first good team that you've come against, and you've fallen at the first hurdle.
They play West Ham. Don't forget about that.
West Ham's better than Villa.
West Ham's better than Villa.
And you lost to them.
No, they won the league.
No, I'm talking about EFL.
Come on, guys.
But you did lose to them in different competitions. It wasn't the same team.
West Ham is
West Ham. I don't care who was playing.
It wasn't our strongest team.
Was it West Ham's strongest team?
I can't remember, but it wasn't the same teams. It just wasn't the
same. It wasn't
Ronaldo didn't play.
Was it West Ham's?
We made 10 changes
and we beat Aston Villa.
Okay, but that's not the point. I'm saying you can't compare our performance in that competition to what it was in the Premier League.
I'm talking about the result. I'm not talking about the performance overall.
But if you talk about the Premier League one, though, then Audrey is kind of making sense, because if you're having, and it kind of happened with Arsenal where we had that thing with Emery. Where we went on like a long unbeaten run and there were bare draws. And it just hides the underlying problem that something is not right. Mm-hmm. Like overall, like it's not, I get what she's saying. It's not sustainable to play a type of football where you rely on individual brilliance, because if everyone has a bad day all at once, you're in big trouble. Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time.
What happens all the time? That everyone has a bad game all at once?
Yeah.
Why, you're
with who?
Our club.
But can't you see that that's bad? If there's no system and you're... Okay, well, not that there's no... I don't want to do Ole that much of a disservice, but if there's... From when he started until now, you haven't addressed that a lot of the key issues that are still causing you problems, and there's nothing to mitigate that, and you're relying purely on individual brilliance. And what happens is that every single time those individuals don't turn up, and every single time you either lose or draw against opponents that you should be getting wins against, is that not a problem?
Exactly.
I think things have changed in the sense that before we would rely on one or two people. Now we actually, it can't just, for me, like when people talk about individual brilliance, it for me sounds like you're talking about like the one or two. But we've best got numbers talking about our team. It's like the only people that are shit are like, there's only two people that are shit.
It's not that the players individually are shit. For example, Varane is a great player, but Varane can't drag you to a win. But besides that, you shouldn't be waiting for one or two players to drag you to a win. That's not the point. Mm. You can have a team of...
But I'm saying we're not waiting for one or two players.
You don't...
Because
but
you only are, two or more players are shit.
But you are. If it's not Greenwood, it's Ronaldo. If it's not Ronaldo, it's Bruno. If it's not Bruno, it's Pogba. And then outside of that, where do you go from there?
But that's like more than half of the team.
You have all-stars that play really well. But they're not, they're playing well because they're good. They're not playing well because there's a strategy that makes them play.
It basically stems
well.
Back to Ole, basically. Mm-hmm. It basically stems all the way back to manager.
I can agree that Ole's not the best manager in the world. That's not, like, I'm not saying that he is.
Yeah.
If we had a better manager, we might play differently.
Because when you think about it, with all of the individual players that you have and they have individual brilliance, etc., etc., a good manager should be able to bring these players collectively together and find something that works. So I don't think we can put it on, you know, the United players as per se, because like you said, you can't really see a strategy there. So I'm guessing we have to
like
take a look at the manager.
With United, we've had almost the same issues for how many different managers.
Have you though?
No. Beatrice.
Yeah, we have though.
Beatrice, you know what?
Right now,
you're still pretty good.
You can see a strategy there now.
The problem with this one guy, he had a philosophy that Man United fans didn't have patience for, but his football's crap.
Okay.
But the difference with Ole, yeah, like I said, I get what you're saying. Ole is not the best manager, but it's not all the times Ole, innit? You can criticise Ole. Sometimes players actually do stupid things that you can't blame Ole for.
Sometimes a lot of our goals that we actually concede are actually mistakes.
Yeah, if we pinpoint it for the Aston Villa match, right? Yeah. What were your players doing? Because I didn't necessarily watch the match. So what were your players doing that were quote unquote stupid?
They're just stupid. They don't have common sense. Fred, for example, yeah. In the first half, Fred was actually frustrating me. Like, he does stupid stuff. Like, you know, like simple stuff that a 5-year-old is capable of doing. Like, Fred has no brain at sometimes. And once again, I'll say it again, Fred is actually the weak link in our team. But then again, he redeemed himself in the second half. Then the penalty thing, like, I saw it on Twitter, apparently Ole told Bruno that he's down to take a penalty. Ronaldo wanted to take a penalty, then Pogba was told Ronaldo, it's just stupid.
Bruno was meant to take the pen, I think. Ronaldo stepped up, yeah. But then Pogba had to be like, step back.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So,
Ole did say, like, it was going to be his decision as to who took the pen, and he decided it was going to be Bruno.
Are you both in agreement that with Ronaldo on the pitch, penalties, set pieces, etc., should go to Bruno Fernandes?
The thing is, right, if we're talking statistically, Bruno is actually the better penalty taker, if we're talking statistically.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you want to be like, oh, it's CR7, he would have scored. But we just don't know what would have
happened. Do you not think in that moment, though, that's CR7's moment,
even though it isn't drawn? Bruno's never done anything like that.
Because Emi Martinez got in his head. He played psychological warfare with Bruno.
Yeah, and it worked, but no one would have known that would happen. Mm. I think on another day, Bruno would slot that in. It was just a day.
So what about you, Audrey? Are you, if it comes down to a set piece, a penalty, Ronaldo, Bruno?
Ronaldo in set pieces in 2021, come on.
He took the free kick. Do you not see?
No, he shouldn't take it. You'd rather
stick with Bruno.
One penalty, like a penalty taker. That's all I want from the club. This happened like last season or time when one day. Just have one solid penalty taker. Then he steps up, he takes it. The only time another person takes it, if the person's off the pitch or injured, it's annoying. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm even happy. Like, I'm upset that we didn't get the draw, but at least now we can see the cracks that's happening at the club. Because like Shai said, yeah, if we went with 1-1, people are like, oh, at least got a point, it's not the end of the world, like, literally. But then I'm gonna have to criticize early, because I'm someone like 13 points here. Is it 13 points?
Yeah.
If you look at who we played compared to like Chelsea, yeah, they've actually played harder,
you know. Last season we said the same thing. We were like dropping points against these sides, like the mid-table sides, the lower sides, and then we got to the hard games and we just had some mad run and we beat like most people. We do this all the time. I don't know what it is, but there's something about us facing stronger teams that we somehow step up. I don't know what it is. And we've done it for the last three seasons.
Can I correct you there? You know, the first time we beat a big 16 was City and everyone was so happy. Are you forgetting all the we struggled against a big 16?
I'm talking about last season, though. The only team that managed to like successfully beat us like that was Tottenham. After that,
Interesting.
Mm. Didn't ask them or beat us.
Oh, sorry, Arsenal. But we, you beat us once. Yeah, yeah. Okay, those two teams.
It's
but
it
was
at
Old Trafford.
They
beat
us
at Old Trafford,
yeah.
I know. Our home form last year was shit.
It was terrible. Yeah. It was terrible. Okay, so moving on, right? We're going to leave that there on the Man United front. In fact, no, let me quickly ask you, your man of the match, personally, for the Man United match, even though you lost.
De Gea.
Audrey?
You already know I'm going to say Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
He deserves it, though. He's the only United player that played like he had sense.
Not Bruno Fernandes.
Not Bruno.
I'm looking at his stats, and Bruno he did pretty well.
Good. Yeah, it was good. He was actually good.
Apart from penalty aside.
Yeah, he actually played well. Like, he played well.
We just weren't...
It wasn't our day.
Clinical or like we weren't hungry, but we weren't like absolutely shit.
We had like 28 shots, by the way. Yeah. And not one was.
Yeah.
On.
Actually validate that you had 28 shots.
We had 28 attempts.
Something like that.
I think only four on target though.
So you had a total of 28 shots, 4 on target, 11 off target, 13 blocks. Blood clots, zero goals. Aston Villa has 7 shots, 3 shots on targets, 3 shots off, 1 blot. All right, moving swiftly on. So earlier this week, right, Marcus Alonso came out and said he doesn't want to take the knee. He wants to point to the No Room for Racism logo on his shirt. And he did say that he didn't ask his fellow teammates how it hasn't been brought up in the dressing room yet. So I guess I will start with the Chelsea fans. Brie, what are your feelings towards that?
I didn't even know it just happened.
Oh, bruh. Yeah, it's happened on... When did the interview come out? On Tuesday or so?
Do you know what's mad? Because was it last week that your teamer brought up in the chat that Alonso's not taking the knee?
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised this came up, but I didn't even know this happened, so...
You see the first time he didn't take the knee, did he point?
I didn't pay attention to him.
I'm starting to think he made that up afterwards just to cover his tracks.
I didn't pay attention. I don't want to...
I'm not sure. I'm sorry, it doesn't make sense to me.
Because he wasn't standing.
Can you explain his reason again? What did he say his reason was?
Something about gesture. It's lost its meaning and it's just gesture politics or some shit like that.
I actually agree with that.
Okay, I hear it.
It's not, in my opinion, it is not for him
to say that. But I hear what he's saying. Mm. I get it. It's not his place to say that, but I hear it. It's becoming performative.
That would have been spoken about, though. Like, for him to just say that it's lost its meaning. The guy's a madman.
Of course
he's going to do that. No, I feel like it would have been a discussion. Maybe he hasn't had it with the black players.
So who did he have it with? His mate?
Maybe.
Maybe he had it, I don't know.
But he probably had it amongst himself. And the main thing here is that Romelu Lukaku, Antonio Rudiger, they have all been subject to racism at Chelsea.
Already? So,
when Romelu Lukaku missed that penalty back in 2012.
Oh, you're talking about that. I thought you were talking about right now.
The racism was at its peak. No, like in general, those are black players that are currently sitting in Chelsea that have been abused racially. Mm-hmm. How do you not have that conversation with these players?
Shouldn't they be like to him, like, what are you doing?
Is it really a black person's right to go to a white person and say, why are you not taking
it? It depends on their relationship, though. If they have a good relationship, I'm pretty sure they'd bring it up. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if it could be like...
But you don't have to agree with what your mates are doing.
Do you know what I mean?
You might not even say nothing because you're just like, I don't want to get into that because I might get emotional about it.
The type of friends as well, sorry. I'm not saying that footballers at clubs, they're not close friends with each other, like as in friends that you just meet anywhere else, but they also have to work together.
Yeah.
You can't approach someone and be like, oh, you should be taking the knee because da 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 da. Like, there's definitely spaces to have conversations, but if you're not tight like that, where you've known someone for a lot of years, especially Lukaku's just, I don't know if they've played together before him and Alonso, but Lukaku's just got there, to sort of sit down with Alonso and be like, I think you should take the knee. And either way, you can't really force someone to protest with you.
Yeah.
In saying that, I agree with Alonso's statement, but Alonso shouldn't be making that statement, because if I'm showing solidarity with my friends, say my friends have a particular issue, let's say let's just go with anti-racism and let's pretend that I wasn't black, right?
Mm-hmm.
or anti-sexism and pretend that I wasn't a woman. And they've decided that the way how they want to voice their protest is by kneeling, and the best way I can show solidarity is by kneeling with them. Then I'm being disrespectful if I don't participate with them, or at least consult them before I withdraw my participation, because it's not for me to say, oh, I don't think your method of protest is effective anymore. That's rude.
Okay.
I feel like you would have like discussed it with Aspie or something.
Oh my god.
The captain.
Aspie's
Faye, I know, but he didn't discuss it. Alright?
He said he didn't discuss it.
So he didn't discuss it. Let's take his word as it is.
He's a mad guy.
Aspie as a captain, she'd be like,
But the thing is, Aspie as a captain and his fellow countrymen can ask him, okay, so why, what are you doing? I don't think this is right. But it's not going to change his mind.
My only like issue with him is that, okay, you say the kneeling is just politics.
But what the hell is this? What the hell is pointing?
I think he's just trying to say, even I'm not kneeling, I'm not.
Yeah,
racist.
But you're still doing a gesture. So your point is done then. You've replaced a gesture with another gesture.
You're basically killing your own point when you're talking about gesture politics. Like, you kneeling, pointing, same goddamn thing, if we're being real. I guess the general consensus is, you're not a black man, so it's not your place to say it, basically. Yeah?
I'm sure there's loads of players who feel like, I don't I'm sure there's loads of players. But they're doing it anyway.
I think they should stop, to be honest. I personally think they should stop, but that's for the black players to come together and say, I think we should stop. You know?
I'm surprised it's lasted this long.
I think they don't know how to stop. That's why.
No. I think they said they were going to continue. I think they actually voted on it or something.
They voted on it after the England debacle, and that's why they kept it going.
It will never stop because
it's never going to stop.
When they decide to stop, unless everyone agrees to stop and like high profile black players, like from big clubs, all come together and they're like, nah, let's stop now. It won't stop because the people that make the decisions mostly are white, and they won't feel as if they can tell people, oh, stop kneeling.
Because look at Zaha. Didn't Zaha basically tell people, I ain't kneeling no more? Like,
and he was right too.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and they're still on their knees kneeling, but that's on them. But Marcus Alonso, he lost my respect there. Because I'm just thinking,
that was the first time.
No, that's not the first time, but like, do you know when he was building it back up, but now it's completely demolished? Because I see the likes of Timo Werner coming from another country to come and kneel, and he's still doing it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Coming to kneel. Who are you?
Do you know what I mean? Like, who are you to know? Like, I'm not being funny. You don't have the greatest track record when it comes to being, you know, a people person. We're not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about what happened in Spain.
Hmm.
All right, cool. So, anyway, Chelsea hosted Manchester City. That was the first time the Champions of Europe came. Sorry, I just had to put Champions of Europe there. I don't even know where I'm going with that sentence. But it was the first time Chelsea and Manchester City played together since Chelsea won the Champions League over them. And, well, Chelsea lost. I don't know if we want to talk about it.
Green doesn't look interested.
Faye's just smiling.
Maybe we should end the podcast now. Hold on. You know what? I was never that optimistic for this game to begin with, because I knew that the past three games of beaten City, like, they were like little bitches. And they're just coming off the back of us beating them in the final, so they're here for blood. And I didn't watch the full game, but I caught the last 20 minutes. And just from what I saw, that's not our side, innit? I don't know what that was. And I didn't watch the full game, so you can literally maybe correct me if I'm being wrong. But, yeah, it is what it is. We lost to City. I'm just happy it was just 1-0. It wasn't worse than that. We've had worse results with them against that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just looking at the result, I'm sure that there was some level of fight in it. Because I know, when I say that, it's because I know the way we've been beaten by that same City team, and there was no fight at all. And if we went back to the same way we've played in those previous games where we've lost that way, it would have been a similar result. But that's just from what I caught in the last 20 minutes of the game.
What about you, Faye? What are your takes from the match?
Because
Bree did put an interesting point. We fought.
Yeah, I don't think they were better than us. I thought you said you don't think they were better than us.
But
I don't think they were like amazing. I feel like if we actually tried to play, it would have been a game.
Mm-hmm.
I think our defenders did their job. City didn't really do anything attacking wise, but we just sat back. So
that's false.
I think we watched different games.
No.
The entire first half,
hashtag Aspie up. Hashtag Rudiger up.
But I'm comfortable with that. The back three, I'm comfortable with them now. Yeah, they had Alonso pinned out. Alonso's fucking shit. Big whoop-de-doo. Aspie's an old man. Do you know what I mean? He can't really do wing-back
anymore.
See,
but that sounds like a whole lot of excuses to me. When's the last time you've seen Chelsea be pinned back like that?
It was the first time.
Exactly.
And because you play Manchester City, they flogged you.
They didn't flog us.
No, but the results said otherwise.
They weren't like, oh my God, City did it. No, they weren't like that.
But I feel like they came the same way. The same way you guys went to the Etihad last year with a game plan and you executed well. What was the score last year at the Etihad?
I think we beat them
2-1, right? So the scoreline might not reflect what Chelsea came to do, but Tuchel came with a plan and absolutely worked, Pep. That's the same way you got worked yesterday.
I swear, said that he got it wrong as well, that he put his hand
Tuchel
on his...
said yeah, he got it wrong.
How can you accept that he got it wrong?
He got it wrong in the sense where, I agree he got it wrong in some aspects. Some players were injured, some players were ill.
Who was ill?
Kante, Jorginho...
Kante played,
and he was injured. He's injured.
Oh, so before he was ill, he went from being ill to injured.
Yeah, injured, ill. Same thing. same thing.
You can have a cold and be ill.
He wasn't 100%.
That's fine.
And we've seen Kante deal with your team. We've seen Kante make Torreira cry.
That's fine.
Manager has said that he got it wrong. Why are you going against what he
said? He got it wrong and playing those injured players.
No, he didn't say that.
He mentioned it in the sentence. Like, oh, he got it wrong and playing those players. Like, for example, he didn't have to play Jorginho because Ruben Loftus-Cheek is there. And he did.
Now, Ruben had a small cameo.
Yeah, he had a very good cameo.
He doesn't have time, though. So Tuchel said...
Thank you, let's read it.
It wasn't actually in context of what you're saying, baby, but... I'll read it out. This is via Sky, via BBC. So it was maybe too many changes from the last match. I take full responsibility for that. The choices were not so good from my side for the lineup. This is on me. Mm-hmm. We were unlucky. We can lose in football. We did everything today to lose.
So you came to life.
Wait. I'm not happy with my lineup. There were too many changes and I shouldn't have done it like this. It is something in particular, but I don't want to tell you.
Exactly.
So, yeah, where did you get someone being sick from?
So you came into
he
life.
Said it.
No, he didn't mention say that.
The injuries.
He didn't mention say it.
That. Anissa, get it. Don't do me like this.
Yeah, but sorry, I'm not going to lie. Maybe.
All he said was he made too many changes.
No,
that was
he mentioned the injuries.
I can keep going. Keep going. So he then went on to say, we all lacked concentration and focus today. That is unusual. Maybe I gave signals to the team with the changes that Saturday was on my mind. Even if it's 5% or 1%, that isn't how we approach things and we got punished.
Oh, thank you.
It is hard. It is a hard defeat to accept, but there is no other way. Do you want me to go on?
No, that's not
enough. I'm trying to say that. That's okay. He didn't say
so
that.
So you came here to lie.
No, he said it.
But that's not the reason.
Say.
No, but, it was the
but that is the reason he can't mention.
Do you know what?
Because he said it.
No, he didn't. Yeah, but you said it. No, breaches and say, do you know what? You guys got flawed. It could have been worse. It's fine.
It
accept
was not
worse.
I'm gonna carry on.
That's even worse. Oh,
he also goes on to say, I don't know how Arsenal would have scored if we didn't give it to them. If we didn't give it to them ourselves, we were not sharp enough. Arsenal? I'm thinking it's City, but
yeah, because City's goal was even deflection. It was a jammy goal.
Okay, guys.
Oh. But my thing is jammy goal.
Oh
or not.
Shit! Wait, hold on, guys. Mm-hmm. The whole last 5 minutes of me reading was wrong. Sorry.
What were you
that
reading?
That was from another match.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I am so sorry.
No, but I am so sorry. No, but Faye.
I didn't check the date. Faye, it was actually the Arsenal match when they beat us.
No, but Faye, getting flogged doesn't mean having a 5-0 scoreline. A team can outplay you on a pitch. Because I can say, hey, when I watched the Man City game and the Chelsea game in the Champions League, it was only 1-0, but you guys outplayed them.
Yeah.
You flogged them.
They didn't they were on top of us, yeah.
No, they actually put pressure on you. It's okay to accept that. Like, it's actually okay. It happened.
So, Faye, at any point...
Give yourself credit for not conceding.
At any point in that game, did you feel like Chelsea had control of it? At any point?
Towards the end.
So towards the end of the game, not the first half, not the
half. The first half was atrocious. Yeah, I can admit that.
So you're cool.
Towards the end, what's the time we're working with here?
Let's just change the word. Let's use pounds.
When Ruben Loftus-Cheek came on, that's when it was like...
When did Ruben Loftus-Cheek enter the pitch, Anissa?
I think it was 68 minutes roughly.
Like I said again, flog does not mean a scoreline. They outplayed you and outclassed you in the pitch. It's okay.
It wasn't outclassed because...
Ruben Loftus-Cheek came on in 76 minutes.
Yeah.
So for the last...
the last 16 minutes, you're saying you weren't flogged for the last... Because you played...
Who was in goal for them?
Mendy.
Didn't Mendy make any saves?
He made like save.
So one or two saves.
Yeah,
so if it
wasn't
didn't,
one or two.
Big saves,
yeah, but a big one or two saves, yeah.
And then cool, so...
Okay, so this is what people actually said.
Saves did Edison make, by the way?
Yeah, we didn't have a shot on target.
Anyway, this is what people actually said. Regarding the performance, he said, the performance was not complex enough. It was simply not our very best level. And you need to be at your very best level to push a game like this to your side. After the goal, it felt like that the belief in winning is bigger than the fear of losing something. I don't know why we tried to push and got the crowd behind us. City got a bit tired, but we could have created more in situations around the box. We were never on our highest level, and that's why you cannot expect to get the result. It's always possible to turn things around and to have one delivery and header to get an equaliser. We can accept it because it was not our best game.
So what did you say about injuries?
Oh, for God's sake, leave the injuries alone.
He said it.
I'm looking at things for about injuries.
I didn't see anything.
He said it.
Faye, it's okay. You was outclassed by City.
We weren't outclassed.
You were outclassed.
We were just very passive. That's what it is. We were very passive.
You were very passive.
Okay. I found the quote that you're talking about, so we can just wrap this up, okay?
Okay.
Cool. We lacked a bit of freshness. Also, N'Golo Kante, he was ill since some days. I decided to let him start. Jorginho had some problems. Thiago Silva could not start. Maybe this is on me, not the very best choices.
Yeah.
Okay?
That doesn't take away that. Yeah, it's
well. All right, basically, to conclude, Faye, we got pumped.
No, we didn't.
We got pumped.
We were very passive.
We got pumped. City had 15 attempts, we had 5.
It's
we got pumped.
Well. No, we didn't play well.
City played well.
But I don't think City
Faye.
Played well either.
Okay, Faye, do you know what? I'm gonna give a balance view. Yeah, I'm going to give a balance view so we can wrap this up, right? In the first 60 minutes, City were on our necks. They had us in a chokehold. We could barely get out of our own fight. We could barely get out of our own half, right?
That's
rarely we found
excuses.
Rarely, we found a link to Timo Werner and Lukaku. And when we did find the links, City, Ruben Diaz, Bernardo Silva, Emerick Laporte, Kyle Walker, they were all on job whenever Lukaku or Werner got the ball, and that's why there was no end product between those two. We got better when Kai Havertz came on, gave us more of a dynamic edge, which we needed to get the 3-4-3 back and to get us moving in more fluidity, right? Mm-hmm. However, it does not change the fact that for the first 60 minutes, we got pumped. And no, I know, do you want to know why I know we got pumped? I had an asthma attack. Yeah? Every time Alonso got the ball, so many times, I kept losing the ball. I was there breathing like... I was wheezing. We got pumped. I could not breathe in that first half. We got pumped, Faye.
Let's just accept it. We were going to score in that first half.
Faye, in that first... You know what? It's not even about them about to score. It's about the fact that every time we got the ball, we lost it.
Yeah, we lost it.
Because they were pumping
this
us.
This is why Tuchel got it wrong. Because... Like
he
said, Kante was ill, so Kante...
Oh,
Anita!
Let's just... Let Audrey speak.
Put a meme, Ty, next to her and Ty next to each other, because you're no different to Ty. You're deluded.
No, no.
You're deluded.
I'm telling you the truth.
You are deluded.
If Kante was not playing, if we had, I can admit, Mason Mount. If we had...
If we had who?
No, I've always said, I don't know what Mason Mount in an attack. I want him in the midfield. Mm-hmm. If he was playing Kante's role, it would have been different. He would have been linking the midfield with the attack. We didn't have that because Kante was ill, unfortunately. He couldn't give his best.
This doesn't relate to the fact that
we did not get pumped because they did not do us anything. They scored a jammy deflection. And if we're going to be real as well, the referee was on their side a lot. That was named Michael Oliver. He knew what he was doing.
Guys.
He was giving them free kicks. He didn't give us penalties that we
I thought Michael Oliver was very
penalties.
Fair.
What penalty shot did Chelsea have?
I saw it, but I realized I had a video on my phone.
Oh my, where do you guys get this girl from?
Is that so rich coming from
you? I have the video on my phone.
Okay.
It hit Walker's hand in the first
one. Okay.
They didn't give the penalty. Okay. We saw what they did to Aspi in the second half. We didn't get it.
Faye.
The offside, I can't say. I think it was an offside.
Okay, Faye.
Do you know what I mean? Things were stolen against us.
Kai Havertz was far offside. We could see on the screen.
I couldn't see.
The gap was literally like this. He was far offside.
Us at home, we could see.
But you were there.
But
we respect your opinion that we didn't get pumped.
No, we don't.
We didn't get pumped.
City didn't play well. They were very lucky because... They had a good few.
Wrap up.
Christensen did his job. Bruno did his job. Silva did his job.
Interesting way to end the podcast today. Just for everyone who's listening, and for you guys to be aware, Champions League is coming back this week. So all of our teams, apart from Arsenal, are in the Champions League.
That's so unnecessary.
So PSG take on Manchester City. Porto takes on Liverpool. Another interesting one. Chelsea take on Juventus. And Man United take on Villarreal. We are playing Juventus on the Wednesday at 8 p.m. Man United
this week,
and Man United are playing Villarreal at the same time. Liverpool's playing Porto on Tuesday. PSG's playing Manchester City on Tuesday, both at 8 p.m. Pick your poison. I'm watching a PSG match.
I'm watching a PSG match.
Okay, so guys, quick prediction. PSG, Man City. Who do you think is gonna win? Faye.
I think it's gonna be a draw.
Okay.
I see.
City.
I think City.
Paris.
PSG.
Okay, cool. Man United, Villarreal, Faye.
Man United will lose.
Beatrice.
United.
That, there was a chest, but that's fine.
There's no Aaron Wan-Bissaka, remember?
It's okay, it's okay. Rihanna.
Villarreal.
Brie.
Absolutely Villarreal.
Where's the game?
It's at Old Trafford.
United.
Audrey?
I can't go and kill myself for my United, so I'm neutral that game.
Okay. Absolutely. And Chelsea go to Juventus, Faye?
Chelsea going to smack them. Remember this.
Okay.
Beatrice?
Draw.
Juventus have not won. In fact, do you know what? I'm not even going to...
win.
Chelsea.
Lukaku's going to have a field day in that game.
So that's what I'm thinking as well. Chelsea for us. And who am I missing? Liverpool, Porto.
I think it'll be a draw.
Oh, my.
Liverpool. Liverpool as well.
Yeah, Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Porto.
Hey!
All right, and I guess on that note, we're going to leave it there.
Are we doing Europa League for Arsenal?
They're not in it.
It was genuine.
Actually, for the first time on this podcast, we are not talking about the Europa League. We are actually not doing it. Crazy.
But
wow.
Man United might end up back there. So.
I don't think it's saying
there's still time.
I mean, you lost
you
the young
you
boys.
You have to be careful what you say because if your club just ends up there, anyway.
Well, at least we'll win it.
You won the first game.
No, but do you know what? Yeah, like I said, that game against Atlanta
young
and
boys.
Them. No, the other game in our group, that draw. I know.
What, should, Atalanta?
Yeah, and when they drew. That's a good thing for us.
Yeah, but,
is Atalanta your next game after Villarreal? Because I watched them against Inter.
I saw they drew.
They're
it was
really
three
good.
Three. I saw it was 3-3.
It was 2-2.
Oh, 2-2.
They are really good. They can cause some damage, but we'll get to them when we get there. Guys, thank you for listening to another episode of Gold Diggers Podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Gold Diggers UK. At Gold Diggers UK _ on Twitter. I want to say follow us on TikTok, but we're not doing any content at the moment. But follow us on TikTok if you want to. Yeah, so... thank you guys once again for listening to another episode. Have a good week. Peace.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.